This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stogstill. The diary continues. Tuesday, April the 7th. Dear Leah, thank God you weren't hurt near the barn that day. So far, nothing that scary has happened here. In February, I started my monthlies. They're painful. You didn't mention that. Mother says Kathleen should be next. When Mary asked what they were, Mother answered, "You'll find out when you're a little older." "I already know what they are. My mom told me," Hannah interrupted. "You bleed every month, and then you can have babies." "Shh, Hannah. When you're all older, your mothers will explain," Mother said. "Is Hannah right?" When Lydia and I returned from the washroom, she whispered to me that her mother had told her the same thing. "You have to marry, and then you have babies." My mother wouldn't explain how, though. We had to end there because Catherine came over, saying she was bored. It was almost bedtime, so we played until everyone else returned. "Sorry, I didn't tell you. Mother gave Lydia, Kathleen, and me permission to leave the washroom by ourselves." When the younger girls returned, Mother was angry Catherine had left without getting permission. Kathleen, Lydia, and I have a new subject this year, typing. As Julia explained, you can't correct your mistakes. Mrs. Davis taught us the location of the keys, then handed us sheets of paper. I rolled the paper in, then slowly started typing. My first attempt was horrible. Many of the words were left incomplete at the end of a line. The entire page was filled with errors. Afterward, Mrs. Davis explained our paper had been crooked. We replaced our rabbits. They've been given the same names as our last pair. These should have babies, though. I have a feeling they may become stew this winter. We haven't seen any Americans, but Lydia's village is full of them, she said. Her sister is coming over. Their parents don't know, but they're bound to find out eventually. Lydia explained courting means they see each other like dating. Lydia caught them kissing one evening. Yes, I'm reading the New Testament now. The Bible takes up so much space on our shelves, there's only one copy. We take turns. Older girls 1 month, us the next. It is read so often that the Braille becomes dull. Some of the Bible's difficult to read. Still wish the Hebrew Torah was in Braille, though. The first part of the English Bible is the same. Did you notice? In our book, Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth continue to have adventures. It was unfortunate about their father's illness. Laurie seems to like Joe. Meg and Mr. Brooke sort of have feelings for each other. We've spent wonderful days outside recently. Somehow our rabbits escaped this evening, so Mother Anderson, Matthews, John, and William had to chase after them. They were found unharmed in some nearby woods. We were exercising, and Anna whispered to Mary that they might be Christmas dinner. Of course, later, Susan was disrespectful to John, ordering him to hold the door, will you? You see, we're going in. Mother Matthews didn't even scold her. She just walked past, her keys jangling. Not for the first time. I'm definitely glad we're not friendly. Julia spoke loudly. You ought to be more polite. And the others just giggled. You have to obey us, Hannah chimed in. You're a servant. We'll talk later about your tone, Missy, Mother Anderson whispered. In our dormitory, she did. She spoke about respecting the workers here, something most of us already do. Bitter news. The Luftwaffe bombed England 5 nights in a row. Exeter on the 24th and 25th. Bath 3 nights, the 26th through the 28th. Even though I know it, I can't wait for more of our song. Love, Esther. May the 11th. Dear Esther, school has almost finished. So far, this has been a slow-going month. Hitler still won't stop. Exeter was bombed again. On the 8th, Germany continued to fight in Sevastopol. Sarah is relieved those land girls have departed. Extra work, but at least they're gone. Another battle's ended. This time, it was in the air and sea between the U.S. and Japan. The Japanese had captured most of the Pacific Islands and the Philippines earlier this year. The Americans prevented an Australian port from being attacked. Endless sewing almost every weekend. I understand it's to aid the war effort, but does it have to be with the same group of women? This week, the fighting continues with another battle in Kharkov on the 12th. Germans and the Soviet Army are losing men. More men and supplies arrived for the Germans. There's a new song, The White Cliffs of Dover, on the radio. Mom cries every time it plays. Well, the 28th, and in Kharkov, it's not good. They're surrounded by Germans. Not sure how we'll spend our summer. Seeing another film, perhaps? Love you always, Leah. June the 7th. Dear Leah, we have exams this year. Last year, everything was canceled because of the Blitz. The only exams that are not written are music and sewing. I don't think of those classes as exams. They're more practical, Miss Walters says. Lydia wants me to stay with her for the summer. I can't wait to meet her family. I just hope they're wonderful like she says they are. The first week of June has ended, and so much has happened. First, exams are over. One of the advantages of being blind is no one can cheat. The hardest ones for me were writing, geography, typing, and arithmetic. Writing sentences and remembering how to solve math problems isn't easy, even with slates. Tracing map outlines and writing their names was also difficult. Typing was still the worst. I know my paper had errors. At lunch, Kathleen remarked, "Will it matter that I ran out of space on one line, but completed the word on the next?" Hearing her distress, Lydia and I moaned about our failed attempts at typing. Our music exam was just playing and reading Braille music for Mrs. Blake. To me, that was the easiest one. Even in sewing, we had to make something for our exam. I think we all made the same thing, blouses. Did you hear the terrible news about what the Nazis are doing? The awful part was what I found out in the washroom. I was coming out of the toilet when the older girls entered with Mother Matthews. I walked toward the sink, hoping to get away. "The little girls should be done here, so there's no need to rush," Mother Matthews said. "What do you think of the charity girl?" Susan asked. "She still can't speak properly. Still has that German accent. Does she know what's been happening? Jews like her were murdered," Susan said, acting shocked. I heard the water in the sink. Then Mother Matthews replied, "Yes, Jews are dying by the thousands, according to the BBC. 777,000 in Poland, I believe." She didn't seem upset or bothered. "She'd better thank God she's here." "Oh, hello, Esther," Mother Matthews said in a cheerful voice. "Didn't see you there." I just stood there, unmoving. I couldn't breathe. "Well, what do you think of that?" another girl close to me demanded. "We want to know. That could be your parents." I opened my mouth, but nothing came out. "Can't you leave her alone? Mother, I doubt she would have heard that news yet." "Julia." "Well, she's quiet. Can't speak now." "Do you need a sink, Esther?" Mother Matthews turned on the water. "Here." "Oh," I screamed. The scalding water burned my hands. I stepped back, knocking into one of the girls who tried stepping around me. "Move, we don't have all night." "Let her through," Mother Matthews said calmly. "You mustn't be late. Mother Anderson will worry." Sobbing, I flung open the door, but not before one girl called after me. "This school is nice, isn't it?" I ran, my cane tapping loudly. I could hear their laughter all the way down the hall. Reaching safety, I burst through the door. "You're late," Mother Anderson scolded. "What kept you?" Then she gasped, grabbing my hands. "Poor child, come with me. No talking, please." The others had already started asking questions, whispering among themselves. "We'll be back." She took me to her room and put something on my hands to stop the stinging. When I stopped crying, I told her everything. She said she would have a word with Mrs. Davis. That night, I could finally think about what Mother Matthews said. Jews dying? 777,000? A day? A week? A month? I can't believe it's taken this long for people to hear about it. I sobbed, thinking about our friends in Berlin. Are they okay? Is our family even alive? And why are the older girls being so cruel about this? Back to the war. On the 6th, the U.S. defeated Japan in the Battle of Midway. During one of our conversations, William declared that even though he's German, he hates Hitler. Like me, he's thankful he lives in England. He's written to his aunt in Germany, but hasn't received a response. His German mother immigrated here before the previous war. When Britain fought with Germany then, he told me there was violence in the streets. British citizens fought with German civilians. His parents were terrified they'd be next. That reminded me of the night Mama and Papa told us about when Nazis destroyed Jewish shops. There had been violence in the streets that night, too. Relief. June's over. This week, Germany recaptured Tobruk. Today, the 30th Sevastopol's fallen. I didn't get a chance to speak to Julia, however. That'll have to wait until we return. I'm definitely with Lydia this summer, so I'll have more wonderful news to write you next time. So far, this has happened. It's been great, except for one thing. Lydia's parents don't know I was Jewish. My first week, everything was going well until Sunday. We were walking to church when Lydia's dad asked what church I attended. I replied, "I attend a synagogue." He stopped walking. I was holding his arm and almost fell. I explained we all attended church at school and I was used to it. Lydia and I didn't mention my praying in Hebrew, though. After church, Lydia's younger sister questioned me nonstop about being Jewish. She wanted to know about the Tanakh, eating kosher food, and our writing. I was very relieved when her mother called for her for something. Lydia's older sister, Edith, continues on with her secret love affair. And no, we haven't met him. All we know is she missed church because of a headache. However, when we returned, she was outside. When asked, she said she'd been over by the stream. Her dad spoke to her after we'd gone inside. Lydia's little sister tried to eavesdrop at a window, but their mum caught her. Like before, William printed some of it, and Edith completed and will post this. Here's the next part. He brought me to his holy abode. Your excited sister, Esther. P.S. One more thing. If people knew William and I are talking, they'd say I'm talking to the enemy, even though I'm German too. He'll continue to print all my letters. July 10. Dear Esther, how wonderful you're with Lydia. I'm envious. We had exams too, and I believe everyone passed. How dare those girls say and do those evil things to you? I felt sick reading about it in your letter. Once again, I begged Mum to let me call you. But she said, you don't have the time. Please let me know what Mother Anderson says. And no, I didn't hear about that. Reading Little Women sounds exciting. Keep telling me about it. Jane tried to spoil the ending, but I said I'd rather hear it from you. Meanwhile, there seems to be fighting everywhere. A battle has started at El Alamein, Egypt, between the Germans, British, and Italians. The Americans and Japanese continue to fight it out. On the 8th, there was fighting on the island of Guadalcanal. Henderson Field was captured by the U.S. Here, it's been long and hot. Nothing to do but chores, church, and sometimes seeing friends. It's hard to believe I've been here for almost 4 years. I still don't feel at home, although school and friends make it bearable. William's family sounds interesting. Ask him which part of Germany his family lives in. You're right. To the English, he is the enemy. Sarah, Jane, and I try to visit Mrs. Evans' children, but she refuses to even open the door. She screams, "Go away! We don't need charity!" You'd think after all this time, she'd start to come around to accept help, at least for her family's sake. Jane's curious about Mr. Evans. "He's a hermit," she whispered one day outside their house. "I'm always looking for Italia, but there's no sign of her. It's maddening how a woman treats her family, keeping them hidden." The Germans have been busy elsewhere as well. By breaking through the Russian army protecting southern Russia, they're attempting to capture Stalingrad. If you read the Torah, don't forget it's in Hebrew. You'd have to learn to read it. At last, July has ended. The battle in El Alamein is over, too. It lasted 27 days. That heat must have been unbearable. We continue to hear more nursing stories. I guess Nora's sister is still in the desert. She has experience treating tropical diseases and dealing with the endless dry heat. She wrote about heat stroke among themselves and soldiers that have to be treated with cold water poured over the patient. Besides that, their bodies were covered in ice. Once they warm up, they're given glucose, sugar, so everything else can cool down. The QAs in the desert fight animal battles too. They check their beds for scorpions, mosquito netting around patients' beds, and fight off rats with sticks are just part of their day. Have you tasted the national loaf yet? It tastes dry. Mom has tried adding margarine or jam, but nothing helps. I know it's meant to be helpful. It's made with wholemeal flour because there's a shortage of white flour. But I hope she won't use it for anything else, like stuffing the roast at dinner time. A new family has moved into a house near the Evanses. They have a little girl, Charlotte. We met her queuing in line in a shop. Charlotte became angry when there wasn't any chocolate. There hasn't been any chocolate in months. Her mother was embarrassed and paid as quickly as she could. Charlotte was still fussing when they left. Love, Leah. P.S. Sorry, no song. Next time. August 7th. Dear Leah. A little more about Lydia. After they discovered me being Jewish, her mom served me vegetarian dishes, except for my last night when we had fish and chips. An English dish, but still delicious. We're all back in school, and I have news. As their punishment for being cruel, Mrs. Davis gave the older girls extra work. Mother explained that Mother Matthews isn't speaking to her, and all the girls were forced to apologize in front of everybody else. So the girls aren't happy either. On one of our walks, Kathleen overheard two of them talking. "They hate us," she said. "That's all you overheard?" Hannah sniffed. "We knew that already." The bell rang, and everyone fell asleep except me. I lay awake, hoping our fight with the older girls wouldn't last. The German armies have advanced into Stalingrad. The Soviets continue to defend the city. Yes, we eat that horrible bread. "What is this?" Mary almost choked the first time. "You don't want to know. We all have to eat it," Miss Lee said. Ever since learning to type, the clattering typewriter is heard most weekends in our dormitory and across the hall in the older girls' dorm. Our lessons with Mrs. Davis are divided between Braille and typing. She times us, checking for speed and accuracy. "Once your speed and accuracy improve, you all can be employed as typists," she explained one day. "Us?" Lydia paused mid-type. "How?" "You can braille the information on a shorthand braille machine. then type it out. When asked, she explained it's a machine with a long strip of paper at one end. As you type, the paper drops into a basket. It has 6 keys and a space bar. In music, we're learning. The White Cliffs of Dover. When someone complained about the number of verses, Mrs. Blake remarked, "That was the whole song." Yes, it's sad, but beautiful. William and I managed to talk yesterday. He said he doesn't have memories of Germany, only stories he's been told. I asked him if his mother dislikes Hitler as well. "Yes," he replied, "very much. She was thinking about returning and helping the resistance, but it's too risky." The resistance is a group of German and Jewish people fighting in their own way, like hiding Jews. "How do they know who they can help?" I ask curiously. "Many are their neighbors. Some are hiding children within their own families," he said. We had to end it there because Mother Matthews passed by the room. I waited until I could no longer hear her keys, then hurried to our dormitory. "Where were you this evening?" Mother demanded. "You weren't out walking. You know the rules." I lied, saying I'd come in earlier and went to the sewing room. To my relief, she didn't ask any more questions. Back in Russia, the Luftwaffe bombed Stalingrad. The other German armies are halted by the Soviet army. My other school news. I met Julia on one of our walks. She slipped away from Mother Matthews, hearing, "You're talking to that charity girl," ringing in our ears. "How are you?" Still furious. "By the way, thank you for sticking up for me." She took a deep breath. I almost didn't. When Mother Matthews taunted you with that horrible piece of information, I thought about how to stay silent. You wouldn't have known I was there. The air was still warm, but the sun was down. My cane bumped her foot lightly. "Well, I'm relieved you did. Did Mother Matthews give you a hard time?" "What do you think?" "She certainly said some things." "You shouldn't be so soft. That girl doesn't belong in this country." She mimicked Mother Matthews' voice. Giggling, we continued our walk uninterrupted. Julia tried describing the sunset to me, then changed the subject. Still, a pleasant way to end the day. The 30th. And in Africa, Alam Halfa has begun with the German armies trying to make their way past the British armies and out of Egypt. The British are stronger, so it should be interesting to see who wins. Finally, 131 Allied ships had been sunk by U-boats. Not very cheerful, is it? Love you always, Esther. P.S. Finally, here's more. Even there, I found no rest. September the 12th. Dear Esther, I ran into Italia today, literally. I was in the woods and we bumped into each other. I suppose I was daydreaming. We sat on the ground under a tree. I noticed with dismay again how thin she was, with her patched secondhand dress, which probably belonged to Mrs. Evans' daughters, and tangled, unwashed hair. Mixing English and German words, she described horrible stuff. Mrs. Evans doesn't have enough food. When we eat, it's once a day. Her daughters cry sometimes. Well, we're all eating rations, I said. What about her garden? She explained Mrs. Evans doesn't have one. I stared at her in disbelief. How could she not have a garden? Then she said Mr. Evans was ill. In his mind, he has nightmares, shouting in his sleep. He hardly ever leaves his room. I feed him when he doesn't eat himself. Mrs. Evans does the heavy lifting, like changing sheets and bathing him. I knew some of that already, but hearing from Italia seemed worse. We were silent, looking out at the trees and listening to the gurgling stream. I didn't know what to say. I want to paint again, she said and stood up suddenly. I enjoyed art in school. We talked about our German families for a little while. Then we said goodbye, leaving together. I told everyone the next day at lunch about my conversation with Italia. She doesn't have a garden? Mom exclaimed. How's that possible? The family was eating lunch. I had leftover porridge from breakfast, cold and lumpy. I don't know, and maybe she's exhausted from caring for Mr. Evans, I said. How does she earn her living? Jane asked. She still sews for the army. She has a machine. They all sew, Mum said. Sarah wanted to give her some of our extra food, but Dad stopped her. She won't take it, remember? Mum sighed, eyes teary. Sarah tried to slip me some bread with margarine, but Dad caught her. We can't believe he still goes along with Mum. I wonder how they're willing to help their neighbors and treat me like I'm invisible. On September the 5th, the Battle of Alam Hafa ended with 1,750 British soldiers killed or missing, along with 68 tanks and 67 aircraft destroyed. Charlotte's a joker in school, not in a good way. She's six and has a pet snake. I know this because she brought it to class on her first day. It escaped and slithered under Jane's bench. The girls on that side of the room screamed, and Charlotte just laughed. Sarah returned it to her. Miss scolded her for bringing it, and the day ended with the girls acting jittery until the bell rang. Now the teacher searches her bag and pockets before class. Andrew even speaks to her. I'm afraid they're planning something together. On September the 7th, Guadalcanal continued. The U.S. attacked the Japanese on the island of Tavu Point. Their supplies were destroyed. On a lighter note, Carmela started school. There aren't any younger evacuees anymore, but the girls she sits near are pleasant. The trouble is, she won't sit still. The others warn her about timeouts, but she won't listen. Finally, September's almost over. We're storing fruit, vegetables, and extra milk in the cellar, so we have it for winter. I still don't have any land girls. I think I'll go crazy if I wash another potato. Well, it has happened. Her first month in school, and Carmela was punished. She was whispering to her friends one morning when Miss took her hand and put her in the coal corner. Well, she fussed until Miss hit her head with her ruler. She was finally quiet, and we continued with our lessons. When lunchtime came, Miss asked if Carmela could behave now. She nodded, so she joined her class. Miss even had her stay in during recess. We walked Eva and Carmela home as usual, and she complained the whole way. "I'm telling Mom that Miss hit me." Eva just shrugged and laughed. "Carmela was put in the coal corner today," Sarah announced when we returned home. "She complained walking home." "Is she one of your lot?" Mom jabbed her fork at me. As usual, my plate held a smaller portion of dinner. "What do you mean? An evacuee or Jewish?" "Both. Is she or not?" I replied she was Jewish. Mom sniffed. "When this war ends, you'll all return to your people." The 25th and the last couple of weeks have been busy. The Luftwaffe bombed Stalingrad, and in Leningrad, Hitler's paused the fighting. When Carmela told her parents about her behavior, they remarked, "Good, now you know what happens to naughty girls in school." Here's my part. The oppressor came and exiled me. An oppressor is someone who forces others to become like them. Sound familiar? Your relieved sister, Leah. October the 10th. Dear Leah, that snake joke of Charlotte sounds like something Mary might do. The only thing she's done is run and sing in the hall. In the early morning, I might add, Mother gave her extra weeding for disturbing us. I bet Andrew has probably planned more jokes with Charlotte. Italia must be so miserable. I suppose she can't leave. Mr. Evans needs a lot of care, it seems. It's the 14th, and in Stalingrad, Germany has halted all fighting for the rest of the year. How will they survive the winter? Just joking. I want those Germans to freeze. Carmela was naughty. Now she knows what to expect in school. what is it like in winter if the corner's that cold during fall? The 23rd. Now Germany and Britain are fighting in yet another battle in El Alamein. While practicing typing in the dorm, Mother brought up our letter writing. "Why don't you type your letters, Esther?" Mother inquired. "I prefer Braille," I replied, hoping she'd stop questioning. "But Leah can't read them," Amy pointed out. So could everyone else, I thought. Julia and I continue to speak often. She's informed me that Mother Matthews and the others have ceased taunting her. At last, the 26th. Battles at Guadalcanal have ended, and the Japanese have too many losses. 121 Allied ships were sunk. Depressing. Looking forward to your letter, Esther. November the 7th. Dear Esther, it's snowing a bit. At recess, the little kids pretended to ice skate, which was amusing. Laurent promised to teach them the basics soon. Today, the 8th, in Egypt, another battle began called Operation Torch between Britain under General Montgomery, the U.S. under General Eisenhower, and Germany under Rommel. Daniel invited me to their house for the weekend. Of course, like last time, Mom refused. Daniel's mom couldn't change her mind. The war continues. It's the 11th, and the Allies, British and American troops, are now being pushed into Tunisia in North Africa. Your typing seems to be improving. Perhaps Mrs. Davis is right. You could be employed as a typist. For now, stick with Braille. It's been 13 days at El Alamein. Germany's overwhelmed because Britain has all the supplies. And after just 8 days, Operation Torch has ended. And a couple of days ago, the Allies captured Tobruk. The Axis forces are still there. Mom and Dad hope this winter won't be so harsh. Not much snow yet. It's been a busy couple of days fighting elsewhere, too. In Stalingrad, Operation Uranus has started. The Soviet army now has the Germans surrounded. Back in Tunisia, Allies captured cities, and the Axis forces made it through the Vichy French line. More news. Walking to school, we passed one of the Evans daughters. I noticed her shoes were stuffed with paper. She looked confused, lost. I called to her, but she appeared not to hear. "Where's she going? What a dress!" Jane giggled. Sarah furiously scolded her. For some reason, the girl wouldn't leave my mind all day. She looked so cold. Maybe that was why. The 20th. In Egypt, the British have now recaptured Benghazi from the Italians. the Germans and the Italians tried and failed to attack the British in Tunisia. Schools canceled again. Still studying the Bible and sending packages of clothes to soldiers. The Jews don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. They want him crucified. It's the last day of November. It's been a very busy in Tunisia. The last couple of days, the UK has attacked the Germans, and cities have fallen to the Allies. And the US shot down an enemy aircraft. I can't wait for Christmas. Leah. Leah's German diary. I didn't have the heart to write this down in my last letter to Esther. It's been a week, and I can now think about it without crying. I just picked up my sewing when Dad called from the kitchen. Leah, we're leaving. Leaving? Where? Dad explained on the way. As we strolled to Helen's, I was puzzled. Why was I invited to help on their farm? The air was cold, and the bright sun appeared as we chatted. Dad asking about Eva. One call, he smiled. I gasped. Really? Ecstatic, I flew inside. You're here. Helen pulled me down the hall. We'll be in the barn, Helen's dad said. But as I told you, I really don't need help. Hello, Mrs. Davis is speaking. How may I help you? The voice was firm but kind. I almost forgot how to speak. My tongue froze. She repeated the question. Hello, I'm Leah. May I please speak to my sister Esther? I held my breath. Mrs. Davis laughed. Certainly, love, I'll fetch her. Clutching the phone in my sweaty hand, I waited, not wanting to miss anything. Leah? The voice on the other end was deeper but very recognizable. Fighting back the tears, I answered. We chatted in German and English for several minutes because Mrs. Davis wants us to speak English, Esther said unhappily. Then Dad's hand touched my shoulder. I was in the middle of a sentence and prayed he hadn't heard. Time to go, darling, he smiled. We said goodbye, and Esther ended our call first. I stared at the receiver, wishing I was there. You did what? Mom's scowl greeted me a few days later. What do you mean? I tried to be calm, although I was pretty sure I knew why she was angry. You phoned your sister, correct? When I nodded, she continued. I found out from Helen's mom. Is it true that the men were in the barn? Again, I nodded. Can anyone confirm your conversation? I was puzzled by the word confirm. If you mean, can anyone repeat what we said, I'm not sure, I admitted. Helen and her mum were in the house. How dare you disobey me? Mum suddenly raised her hand as if to slap me. Fearfully, I stepped back. I'd never seen her this outraged. Enough! Dad appeared as if from nowhere. He stepped between us, placing his hands on my shoulders. It was my idea. She had nothing to do with it. I couldn't see the harm in allowing her one conversation. Please don't tell, I pleaded silently. Besides, everyone was occupied. Mum breathed heavily and was quiet. Gratitude washed over me then. As Dad led me away, I looked into his eyes. I couldn't speak. He understood, saying, "You're welcome."